Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Cody Goff with a special sponsored podcast episode from Curiosity.com.
And I'm Ashley Hamer. This episode is sponsored by EMD Performance Materials, a business of Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany. And it's the second episode in a 5-part series we're doing to help you learn about how science and technology are being applied to drive innovation and change the world.
Last week, you learned how EMD is driving innovation, but today you'll learn about everything else the company needs to do to stay ahead in a fast-paced global business environment.
Today, you'll learn about the unbelievable level of purity and complexity that goes into producing new technologies, what researchers are working on and how the world will look in the future thanks to their efforts, the cool things liquid crystals can do, and more. To help you learn about all that, we're welcoming back last week's guests from EMD, Anand Nambiar and Dongquan Lee.
Anand Nambiar is the Global Head of Semiconductor Solutions Business Unit, and Dongquan Lee is the Head of Packaging Business Field. Let's start with Anand Nambiar, who has some insights into what makes EMD special. Let's satisfy some curiosity.
Materials can be produced by anybody. So what differentiation do we provide to our customers? Innovation gets us in the door. Innovation gets us talking to our customers. But supplyability and uninterrupted supplyability keeps us in the game. Innovation alone doesn't do it, doesn't cut it, because our customers need a supply chain that brings innovative materials and actually is able to deliver consistent product every time you produce it, exactly the same way, right? And when we talk about exactly the same way, we're talking about purity levels that are unthinkable. So purer than water that we consume, purer than medicines that we consume, purer than that, right?
Like to the molecule.
To the molecule, to the parts per trillion. And to translate parts per trillion into daily life, it's like when you... if you lose your phone in the size of the United Kingdom, right? We need to be able to find your phone in the size of the United Kingdom.
Wow.
That is the level of purity level that we're talking about. We need to find something in our materials to that precise level.
Wow.
And that purity level has gone from the size of, finding it in London to finding it in Greater London to finding it in the United Kingdom. Right? And that's the level of purity that we're talking about. The level of complexity in actually manufacturing this device can be translated very simply as well. The latest and greatest memory technology today produces materials in a kind of a stack. So what that means is a few years ago, think of it like real estate. You have a single family home and a big acre lot. You fit a few people in there and you're happy, right? And think of people as data bits. So the more people you have in the home, the more data you can store and more data you can transmit. Now, as time went on, you want to fit more and more people into the same home. So we're like, okay, let's build a bigger home and a bigger home. And then soon enough, you ran out of real estate. And so you start to build condos right next to each other. And then you start to build townhomes. And then you go, we ran out of space, let's build skyscrapers, right? So today we're building skyscrapers to the tune of 3 kilometer long skyscrapers already. So think of the tallest building in the world today, Burj Khalifa, right? It's 800 meters or something tall. In the semiconductor world, we're building skyscrapers 3 times the size already. And we'll be building 8 times the size in the next year or so. That's a level of complexity that's already established, already implemented in the world today. And if you think about semiconductor industry evolution, here's another fascinating example, right? The evolution of this technology over the last few decades, if you were to translate that to another industry, say automotive industry, if you were to translate the technology, the evolution from semiconductors to automotive, you could actually drive a car around the world in one tank of gas. That's the that's the achievement that's already happened in the semiconductor industry.
And you're still working on getting it better.
We're absolutely.
We'll be talking about this more later in the conversation, but I thought it would be helpful to jump in now and give a quick introduction to what might be the most important rule in tech, Moore's Law. That's the prediction that Intel co-founder Gordon Moore made in 1965, when he observed that the number of components on integrated computer circuits was doubling every 12 months or so, and figured that that pattern would probably continue. The industry not only took this observation to heart, but kind of turned it into a goal, so that for a while, transistors were doubling every year by design, and Moore's Law turned into a self-fulfilling prophecy. The problem is that you can only fit so many transistors on a chip before you run out of room. After about three decades, people started using new materials and novel manufacturing approaches to keep pace with Moore's Law. That's what EMD is doing with its semiconductors. The company is constantly coming up with new ways to squeeze more performance out of ever smaller chips.
Also, I would say, so now we are talking about a lot Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. That means the semiconductor chips going into many crazy places and under different environment, extreme conditions. Now even it has to go to our skin, under the skin, and has to go to deep sea, or going to Mars. All these things need to be connected. Then traditionally, the chip goes into computer or our smartphone, let's say, but now it has to go into all different conditions and extreme situations. And then customer asking us, can you develop material which can survive under these totally different conditions from the past? So that creates different needs and innovation ideas, so that's how we come up with this. That's the beauty of this technology.
Yeah, you're not just coming up with the tech for walking around a city, right. You're coming up with the tech for exploring 20,000 leagues under the sea or going to Mars.
Exactly.
Can you call up the car companies and get them to make that gas? I would love that cheap tank of gas that'll just take me around the world once. It'd be really nice. Does this kind of technological development, does it plateau? I mean, there are limits to like what an atom can do, right?
Right, Moore's Law. That's the thing everyone's fighting against, right?
Yeah,
where you can't fit enough into a chip.
Yeah.
But it seems like you guys are doing it. So how's that work?
Yeah, I think this is another phase of the technology change. As you just mentioned, for the past couple of years, we're talking about our end of Moore's Law. But now it's another law of different phase. As he mentioned also, we were going only this, the shrink dimension. But now we're going into this way. Because we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, atom size, there's a limit.
Dong Kwon was using hand gestures to illustrate that if you only add to a semiconductor on the horizontal plane, like to use Anand's analogy, if you were just adding houses to the neighborhood, you could only make those additions so small before they're atom-sized and you can't fit any more of them. But if you build vertically by layering components on top of one another like a skyscraper, you can add a lot more.
Yeah, the gestures you were making, the kind of the horizontal were compressed to basically the atom level now, and then that vertical that you're talking about, what specifically do you mean? And we can get a little more into the science if that's necessary here, but how do you mean that, like what specifically, I guess, is being changed in what you're developing and kind of accelerating?
So the latest and greatest memory technology is what's called a 3D NAND technology. So essentially, if you think of your smartphones, and where does all this power, these your photographs and everything, where does it get stored? It gets stored in something called flash memory, which needs to be, which is non-volatile. So when you power it off, it retains all that data. That memory technology uses what's Don was referring to, a 3D structure. So we're not able to squeeze more people into that real estate that we have, so we're starting to build skyscrapers. And if you think of the skyscraper, think of every floor as a floor of accommodating more and more people and therefore more and more data. So you can store more data as you build more and more floors. Today we're already at 64 floors, 64 layers. Tomorrow it's going to go to 96. It's already in place. It's already going to get to 96. It's going to get to 100. It's going to get to 200. And who knows, how far it's going to go. So that 3D NAND technology is already in the market, and where we supply materials to allow our customers to build that, you know, multiple floor structure.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So what are you the most excited about in what you're doing? I mean, you're clearly both really into all the work that you're doing. It's really exciting stuff. You can look at anything and say, yeah, I was part of that. Are there any particular developments you're really excited about, recent or upcoming?
So, I mean, we talked about direct self-assembly program. So yesterday I was talking about this. This is the material that enables your patterning capability and ability by not using traditional method. So this material itself, we call self-assembly. So when you have, I was talking about the beer, black and tan?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, the mixture of the two different beers. When you shake it, then it mixes around. And it shows just one phase of a certain material. And then when it stays there, then it separates by itself.
Once it sits, just self, like a water and vinegar.
It's like a B-52 shot, shooter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Multiple layers, they're all separated. Right.
So that's this concept was invented more than 100 years ago. But now, finally, our company, we're trying to use it for semiconductor industry. So when we started this program, many people said, you guys are crazy. It's not going to work. But we do have the evidence that we can now come into the reality. So this type of, but it also took more than 10 years, from the fundamental development and theoretical approach. Now we're changing from lab to real production. It took more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. So that's what you mentioned also. We have strong support from the company, so we can continue this innovative technology development. We do need patience, of course, innovative ideas, but such a thing. People never thought about using this kind of crazy stuff, and now we're making it into the real applications. So that's how fascinating the area of our technology
is. Just to summarize a bit, Dong Quan was talking about something called directed self-assembly technology. You know how that 3D NAND technology we were talking about stacks chips in layers like the floors of a skyscraper? Well, directed self-assembly is kind of like if you put all the glass and steel and concrete in a big pile and it was able to arrange itself into the patterns you need to form a building. Except with directed self-assembly, you're talking about super specialized materials on the nanoscale that assemble on their own. As you might expect, this makes semiconductor manufacturing way more efficient and cost-effective.
Do you employ a lot of scientists?
Yeah.
It's funny, I think a lot of people, when they think of, I'm going to go to school for science, they'll think they become a teacher, do research in certain areas. I don't know that they necessarily think they may end up in the technology field.
Right.
Because is that effectively what you would say in the tech sector, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we pride ourselves as a science and technology company. And rightfully so, because when all the areas that we're in, either whether we talk about healthcare, life science in general, or materials, it's all aspects of highly innovative, high tech needs in all of those areas. In healthcare, for example, it's the latest and greatest medicines that we need to produce, not just invent but produce as well. In materials, exactly the same thing. It's how do you make the material that can support a customer to make these devices cheaper, faster, less power consuming, and so on. So absolutely an innovation-driven technology company.
So there's a window behind me that, I don't know if you'll necessarily see in the video, but we'll have pictures and videos on our social media accounts. It's a window that keeps tinting and then not tinting.
Right.
What is the story with that window?
Yeah, so this is a liquid crystal window, and it's using the liquid crystal technology that we have in displays to make a window smarter. And what does a smart window mean is, today, if you look at this triangular shaped window or a facade of a building, you have to put blinds or you have to put curtains or whatever to block the sunlight or allow the sunlight to come in. Now, how do you, when you make a building, how can you control the level of sunlight that comes in on a minute-by-minute basis or more real-time. So if there is sunlight today, if there's too much sunlight, if it's too hot, I want it dark. If it's a winter day and it's not a lot of sunlight, I want the light to come in. Now, if you put a blind, you have an on-off capability, but being able to control the amount of light that comes into your part of that building, your home, based on what you would like, that's what a smart window does. And you can go from complete transparent to complete blackout with a switch of a button. And that's the coolness factor of what you see behind you.
I can imagine that that's not just a nice to have in like really, you know, in mansions. It probably goes into architecture as a whole, right?
Absolutely.
Because we love making these all glass structures,
right.
But that can get really hot.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a matter of efficiency. So there are some airplanes and some hotels that have a different technology which does the same, a similar thing, which is, you know, take it from transparent to opaque. However, the speed at which it happens is liquid crystals instantaneous. And you can see it, how it flickers from complete transparent to opaque in a microsecond. Right?
Yeah.
And that's important when you have a building. Yeah, it cannot take a day to completely go from transparent to opaque, right? It needs to be instantaneous.
Yeah.
That can only happen with liquid crystals.
Yeah, it's not like the transition lenses from back in the 90s to when you go outside and your sunglasses eventually
take
a while.
Exactly, yeah.
That's a totally different material, different technology entirely, you're saying. The liquid crystal has that instantaneous capability, so this is a new...
It's because, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it because you can apply an electric field and then it'll do exactly what you want?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So think of it like it could be, in tomorrow, it could be a display. I mean, if you think of it, tomorrow you could have windows that can actually show you information.
Yeah.
It could be, you could put artwork. You could do so many things with it because it's the same concept that is in your laptop computers in terms of a display. The liquid crystal is switching the light out on or off, or the amount of light that goes in, and that's what you're seeing in a display. It's the same exact concept. So we use the same platform to move from a display into a smart window.
Thanks for listening to this special episode of Curiosity Daily, sponsored by EMD Performance Materials, a business of Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany.
Join us again tomorrow for a regular edition of the award-winning Curiosity Daily to learn something new in just a few minutes. I'm Cody Goff.
And I'm Ashley Hamer. Stay curious.
On the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.